Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session from Mesa City Council for Monday, February 27th, 2012. We'll begin today's study session with the first item, which is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. Page 2, items 3A through 3D. Page 3, items 3E through 4B. Items page 4, items 4C through 4G. Page 5, items 4H through 5B. We're getting feedback.
It's like the Oscars.
Page five, still there. Try and turn the volume down on this monitor right here. Okay.
Game is bleeding through. We can hear it.
Page six. I'm sorry. Items 5C through 7.
Man.
Yeah. Let's turn over to Mr. Brady, and then we'll go over each one of those.
Item 5B will need to be pulled from the agenda. It is correct on the
item
online.
Item which?
5B, Bravo.
Oh, on
so
the previous
we're back
page?
On the previous page.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, there was an error.
The FEMA grant?
Yeah, when it got reposted, there was a... So we will just post it back on for March 5th.
Okay.
Agenda. The match number is different on the posted... agenda.
All right,
it's so correct on what you see on the online, but right. It got posted incorrect.
Okay, so we're moving item 5, Bravo.
Bravo, and we'll bring, it'll just show back up on the March 5th.
No, I thought this was an error.
Okay.
This is an error.
On the next page, items 5C through 7. Let me see. I think item 5F I would like to remove from consent.
Mayor, I have an item on that.
Okay. Ms. Councilmember Richens.
There are a couple of language changes that need to be made to the resolution, or I would suggest changing for the resolution for those that have been supporting this so far. And so how do I go about doing some resolution language?
Resolution language can be changed here at the council meeting. It doesn't require prior posting. So you can discuss it, and if the council agrees, we would rewrite it and have the mayor sign it after it's been completed.
Okay. Just a couple of things. On the third paragraph, it says 99-year lease rate term. I just say long-term lease because we don't need to define any kind of term on that. And then there's some technical language in the qualified allocation plan from the Arizona Department of Housing that's necessary in here. And in order for the project to qualify for certain points that they're going after, they need to have some technical language that it's what we're doing is in accordance with the section 2.7J of the qualified allocation plan. So I just inserted that language in there.
Any objections to adding to change this language? Okay.
So then
is it?
Letter.
I'm sorry. So tonight when it is acted upon by the council, we will assume it should be read as amended in the study
as amended,
session.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And you may
so in the regular meeting, go up and state that you're making these changes or amending that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll need to change. We'll need to move pull that off of consent then. So that is item. That's 5F. Where it's already off.
That's 5F. It's on
okay.
Consent already. Thank you, Mayor.
All righty. And I'll turn to you then, so you can say that on the resolution. Okay. Vice Mayor.
For those last three issues, including this one, there are some, there's a lot of steps between here and there, including some potential financial obligations that the city may have to live up to. Are we in any way obligated once we sign this letter to construct these projects if they were to be given the tax credit award, or can the city back down? Should we decide that it's not in the best interest of the city?
I'm going to let Donna answer that, Mayor and
Thank
Council.
You.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of the Council.
I think that's, there we go.
Donna Bronski from the attorney's office. The resolution is written that so that if the council cannot come into agreement through negotiations with the applicants, that they can get out, that the city doesn't need to go forward with the plan. The resolutions do suggest that, at least at this point, you're willing to go through with supporting the application.
Okay, but we're not obligated in any way. If the council decides that we don't want to move forward with the project for whatever reason, we can still...
Well, if you can't negotiate to a deal, yes.
Yeah, and we're sort of stepping out here. And one of the reasons why, and I'll say this during the regular council meeting on 5F, is that while we're not obligating ourselves, we're trying to set the stage so that these developers can make a good faith effort to receive to qualify for this financing. And so we're stepping up to assist that. I hope that we're crystal clear that it's not as simple as just saying, well, since we don't agree, we can back out. Because there's certain expectations that whether we like it or not will be created. And I think we need to be very, very clear. I need to be very clear that that this is the beginning of a process, and there's a lot of territory we have to cover as far as development agreements, as far as specific terms, as far as things like that.
And the applicants will be starting to expend a fair amount of money.
Yeah, so I hope we understand that as we go forward, that you know, it's not as easy as just saying we're not doing it. We can do that. We're not obligated based on what you said. But I want to make sure that if we can't, for whatever reason, come to agreement with these, that's not as easy as just saying, oh, well, it didn't work.
No.
Mayor and Council, if I might ask, it's Donna, correct me if I'm wrong. What we are saying here is that we will, in good faith, attempt to negotiate an agreement with the applicants.
That is certainly implied.
There's a lot of unanswered. I think what I say is there's a lot of unanswered questions in each of these deals, and the applicants understand that. I'd hate to go through and let's say that for whatever reason, and I have no idea how this will play out because we haven't gotten there yet. Let's say for two or three or one of the three or all three of them, we just can't get there. You know, we have to understand that we'll be left with maybe the perception that the city may not be good to work with, and that may be the furthest thing at all from the truth, because if we're going to go forward, we're going to make a good faith effort to make things work. But this is at risk. I hope the applicants understand this. There are so many unanswered questions, and they can't be answered now. It's not that they're trying to deceive anybody or avoid them. They just can't, because we haven't gone far enough. But we're under a time crunch here. We want to help them as much as we can. And so we're willing to take this step. But they need to understand that we're taking a risk by even going this far. And we hope that they don't get any false, or anyone else get any false sense of security. This is a risky deal going. When I say risky, this is for them because they are going to spend money. And we still have a long way to go in making sure that these deals work for the city of Mesa. And we're not to that stage yet.
Councilor
Higgins.
Is there a legal terminology to good faith? I mean, could they come back and say you didn't negotiate in good faith?
Well,
because I don't want anything to come back that would cost us at the end of the day if we were to go ahead with a yes on a recommendation for a letter.
Well, Mayor, Council, there's going to be an expectation if a majority of the council votes in favor of these resolutions that the council is going to negotiate in good faith. If there is no intention to go forward, you should not vote in favor of the resolution. But you certainly, at this point, aren't committing that you are going to a deal because you haven't negotiated a deal yet.
And while, yes, there is a well-established standard for good faith legal, but that's how we do business. I hope that's how the city does business for everybody, that what I've seen is that we do our best to negotiate, to conduct our business in good faith. And while there is a specific legal standard that's been developed over the years through a variety of court cases and other things, I think that everyone understands it. Well, it's a hope that if we're allowing them to go forward with the letter, then we have to accept the fact that we're going to negotiate with them to see if we can get a deal done. Vice Mayor.
Somewhat more specific question, and that's on item 5D. I've already indicated that I intend to vote yes on that one. However, there's some There's some financial issues related to that particular one I have concerns about. Is that concern, are we still negotiating in good faith if we can't get to a resolution on what those terms are, or is there, should I be concerned about casting a yes vote on that?
Mayor and Vice Mayor, if you think that any of the terms in the resolution, I think the one you're talking about is the cash contribution, if you know right now that that is not something that you can support, you should not vote in favor of the resolution. If you think that that would be supportable, assuming you could get to other terms, that no one knows what those terms are yet, then you're perfectly safe in voting for the resolution. You'll be able to get out, you know. And if you can't come to terms, then it would be within the terms of this resolution that the city would be able to not go forward with the deal.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
If I have anything else, I might hit you up before between meetings.
Right. And Donna, and I don't know if you're who would think would be helpful for the council to understand the expectation if all these were to be successful in getting the appropriate level points, when would be the expectation that development agreements would be completed? I think it would be helpful to understand the timeline we'd be under after that. Does someone have that? It puts that all in context of how fast this is going to happen. We've worked on development agreements that we've done in 6 weeks and some that took a couple of years. So kind of what would be the expectation here?
The timeline is that they would have to have an approved site plan in the middle of May, a development agreement by the middle of June, and then to show site ownership either through some kind of a lease or sale by July 1st or July 16th. I'm sorry.
So, just Mayor and Council, just for what it's worth, those are very aggressive for us, and we will probably have to come to Council with additional resources for us to do that during budget. We can do it. It's just these are three fairly significant development agreements, maybe one or two, probably unlike we've done ever before. So we would need to come back after this, I would propose, and really sit down with some kind of draft concepts of where we're going with this, because these are pretty can get pretty complex from what I've seen in the request. And that's a pretty quick turnaround from where we are right now. Get there. We can get there. I'm not just saying we maybe need to come and get additional resources to meet that timeline to make that happen.
So. And we need to be, I want to be upfront with the applicants, because I'm sure that they are thinking that there will be resources for their project. We're looking at three projects here. And the fact is that we're moving this forward not because of a time deadline that we created or even that the applicants created, but that the state created, and we're trying to accommodate that now. Going forward, and what concerns me is that we're trying to accommodate others so they can do it now. So they can meet that deadline. Now there's a payback for us, because we hopefully will get a great project, and so we're willing to do that. But there are so many, as I said, unanswered questions that I hope that everyone involved in this process recognizes that we're just at the starting line in many ways, and there will be some very tough decisions we have to make, and the applicants will be spending money, we'll be expending resources to see if we can get there. We would normally do this well before we brought it to council action, but we had this March 1st deadline. And so I think the legal department has done a good job of balancing the need to be as supportive as we can in the letter that's being sent to the state housing, while not creating any real legal obligations for us. And I mean, there's a lot of possibles and perhaps and maybes that let everyone know that while conceptually we think it's a good idea, mm-hmm. we're not formally committing to anything. We're aware that this might be something we need to do. So I think the legal staff has done a good job of balancing those. But we're going to move quickly, and we have to look at this very carefully, because I think there are some obligations before we finalize anything that we will be asked to take on. We just don't know what those are yet. And when we find those out, we'll have to deal with those. And that's a little backwards how we normally do it. Usually we negotiate those, and then the development agreement is thrown before us. And this way we give a tacit approval, not a formal, but a tacit, so they can issue the letter. And then we come back and negotiate. And that creates a little bit of uncomfortable situation for all of us. Is that okay? Is that clear? All righty. Okay, any other questions about this? All right. So 5F is off consent, 5D and E are okay to stay on consent, right? Okay. The next items are 8A through 9B. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I just have a question of clarification for a city attorney on 8A. If we introduce this ordinance tonight and enact it on March 5th, it's my understanding it would go into effect then 30 days later. Is that correct? So the changes occasioned by this ordinance would apply to filing nominating petitions for this election. Is that right?
Yes, I believe they would.
Great. Thank you.
Vice Mayor.
On that particular issue, if we were not to enact that at this time, what would happen? Would this mayor election be impacted by the increase in signatures for mayor, or would it happen afterwards?
I guess I would turn to the city clerk. We would go with our normal or historical calculation in terms of the number of signatures required.
That would be my take on it, too. That is what the other cities did when they passed it.
So, and I'm sorry, it takes just a second pulling this up. So, what, Linda, what was that historical number? Is it 2428? Yes. Okay, so the mayor would need 2428, and then districts 1, 2, and 3 are up?
Yes, District 1 is 398, District 2 is 366, and District 3 is 233.
Okay, and then in the following election, which would be 2 years from now, that's when the new numbers would take effect?
That's correct. Assuming that the mayor's seat goes to a general election, we base the numbers on the general, not the mayor being elected at a primary. So basing it on that, the mayor's signature count will go up to 8,000.
Okay, but it also impacts council district races.
That's correct.
And my council district race, when it comes up in 2 years, would need over 2,000 signatures?
That's correct.
2,121. Is there anything we can do as a council to bring that number down to something reasonable? I mean, right now, my signature count would be, for that district, is 652 signatures, which is the most of any of the districts. District 3, just to pull one up, is 233, and it varies based on the previous population. So what does state law say about bringing that number down? Because what we're setting up potentially is 1,000 signatures for the next mayor's race, and the next District 6 race is twice that.
Mayor and Council, there was a recent change to it's ARS 16-322 dealing with nominating petitions. And with regard to mayor and offices nominated at large, so if we were not in a district system, if it was a council at large,
if we are Tempe or Scottsdale,
yes,
correct. Gilbert, Chandler.
We could change by ordinance the number of nominating petitions required for council positions as well as the mayor. Under this statute. But the state law dealing with district council members has not changed, so it does not give the city's express authority to adopt by ordinance a different number of signatures required.
Has any bill been introduced? I don't know if Mr. Butler's here. Yes, he is. Has any bill been introduced, or is there a possibility of a bill being introduced to allow us to deal with this? Or are we going to end up having to go to a vote for a charter change?
Mayor and Vice Mayor, that particular bill that Debbie is referencing, the change in ASRS, was brought on by the city of Scottsdale, who was trying to deal with their particular situation after state law had changed and mandated the turn to fall elections. And since city of Scottsdale is not does not do a district system, then that's why I think they just did the lowest common denominators. Oftentimes happens at the legislature and only attack the issue
that's
at hand.
The definition of legislature.
And only address the issue at hand pertinent to the city of Scottsdale. So I don't think that there was any intent not to include district systems. It was just an oversight that they were drafting.
Since Phoenix has already changed theirs based on the charter, they didn't really see any need. So we're kind of stuck in a unique situation.
I'm sorry. No, yeah. You bring up Phoenix. What were those numbers again that they required?
1,500 for the mayor, 200 for all the council members each.
Okay.
See, I'm wondering, Mayor, if since, I mean, 24 or 28 is a fair number of signatures, but what I'm afraid of is that we potentially set up a situation where this council approves
1,000 signatures for mayor, which I think is appropriate. But then we're forced to send something to the voters, which, if rejected, would force almost all of the council members, based on the information I have here, to collect more signatures for their small district races than the mayor's race. And perhaps it would be better if we were to make a decision, either table this or have a discussion on making a or just referring this as a charter change to the voters, so that the mayor would have 1,000 signatures and council members would have X signatures based on what the council and public input recommends. So I would suggest we pull this issue and discuss it at a later date.
Councilman Fender?
Well, my suggestion would be, let's don't pull it. Let's go with this on 1,000. And then I've heard our good mayor talk. There's a lot of technical changes and just things I've heard in the last little while. I think we need to have some charter change, you know, charter review and get that going. Do you think we have the time to do it?
Oh, yeah.
And I think this would be a great issue and a few others.
When is the deadline for, what, June,
well,
July?
Mayor, we have to have the ballot language to the county by July 24th.
Okay. So we do
so have
and this I'm would be saying. A referral from the council, so we have till July to get this in. Well, before we go on break.
That's correct. I'd say late June, because we have to go through all the translation, but we have some room to do that.
Yeah, Vice Mayor?
Alex, my just directed at you, sir. My only concern would be is that the potential to set up that conflict where this body approves 1,000 signatures, which is the right thing to do, is to go to 1,000. Because I think there needs to be a reasonable number of signatures collected to show that the candidate is a legitimate candidate. But that number shouldn't be so high. 8,059 signatures is onerous, and to be polite.
2,100 signatures.
2,100 signatures is probably a lot.
Maybe harder than the 8,000.
Yeah, well, fair point.
Apply to you, so that, you know, it's whoever your successor is.
Well,
in District 6.
Right. My concern is that I don't want to set up a situation whereby we approve the mayor's signatures going to 1,000, and for whatever reason, the charter amendment doesn't make it on time, doesn't get approved, and now the next District 5 signature collector has to get 1,790 signatures. So Councilwoman Higgins, running for re-election, is forced to collect more signatures than the mayor, or, you know, the only one that wouldn't need it is, you, at 544. No, wait, who's District 4?
Chris.
Sorry, Chris. It would be you.
Well, so
I apologize, Alex. You would need 1,127. Or 1,214. I keep getting confused where you are. But, I mean, everybody except for Chris, who represents a small district, would have to collect more than the
mayor. Actually, whatever change we make doesn't apply to anyone on this council except for Chris, because we're all termed out.
And we'd all be term limited, I think, so.
That's correct.
Yes.
Let's not get into that conversation.
I think the question is, if I'm hearing it right, is do we do this in two steps, or do we look carefully at coming up with a charter change that pulls all that, and I'm indifferent to that, because I'm really concerned that with these numbers you could have races where you literally, and I know this sounds drastic, but it's hard getting 2,000 signatures, and it's hard getting 8,000, and not that I want to make my life any easier, because this doesn't apply to me, but I could literally see us with some of these races having no candidates qualified because of the expense and the effort that it takes in a limited area. And I want to make it easier for people to run, so we have a healthy number of candidates come out. So
one more question, Mayor. If we were to approve this tonight for 1,000 for mayor, is there anything that prohibits us from going back if the charter change doesn't go through, if the voters reject the charter change?
We can always go back and change the ordinance.
Can we put it back to 8,059 later?
Yeah. No, you can. It wouldn't affect the 2012 election.
Yeah. Once again, we got a lot of time before this becomes a real issue in 2014, so we can go back and fix that if it doesn't test. I agree with Councilman Fenter. I think we really need to look at cleaning up, especially our election system in the charter. I think this is something we need to look at, because these are fairly onerous, and I don't want to discourage or keep people from running for office. And, 300, 400, 500 is enough work. You get up to 2,000, 1,500 in a district, 8,000 for mayor, you're going to keep a lot of people from running. So I would agree. We need to set up a little committee maybe to to look at some of these or have staff come up with some of these technical changes.
Do we have an InterGov
subcommittee? We have an InterGov subcommittee. Yep. I think that Councilmember Glover runs. Have staff work with them to come up with some of these cleanup ones, especially in the election, for consideration to put to the ballot.
Just one clarification, Mayor. You said if the mayor wins outright in a primary, what's the difference?
Council Member Higgins, there's greater turnout in the November election. Okay. So since it's based on the ballots cast for mayor, we're going to find probably, especially in a presidential year, that's when we're going to see the higher turnout.
So if the mayor won in a primary, then it would be based on the primary results.
Okay. So this is worst case scenario?
Worst case.
It gave you the worst case.
Great. That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. So are we leaving? Are we pulling?
I think pull it and just do it all at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pull this and let's come out with a charter language proposal that affects all these. That I would like to see it geared toward more like what Phoenix does. They're a city that's three times our size, and yet, and they have this last time they had pretty vibrant elections. They had multiple candidates, and I think that's the way it should be. So, okay.
Fine. We've talked about some other changes that you're right need to be done.
All righty. Okay. Anything else?
Time,
yeah, I know. Acknowledge receipts of minutes, boards.
Second.
Motion from the Vice Mayor, second Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Brady.
We'll see you on Thursday morning, 7:30.
Okay. Thursday morning. Motion adjourned, Councilman Kavanaugh, second Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned, and we'll see you upstairs.